This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Back again for a second episode is Dr. Matthew Taylor, a 30-year physical therapist, doctorate in physical therapy, owner of Dynamic Systems Rehabilitation in Scottsdale, Arizona. Welcome back, Dr. Taylor.
Great to be back, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. We had a great conversation, and time got away from us so quickly, so thank you for taking your time to join us for a second week. We were talking about your philosophies regarding how physical therapists are viewed in the area of wellness and fitness and rehabilitation. And you had some striking thoughts, maybe not exactly politically correct, I think you said even one time to me, but that you are, you're kind of out there saying, hey, wait a minute, we're not doing all the things we should be to serve the patient as to the best or to get the best outcome that we can. Can you just give us a little overview of what we talked about last week, and then I've got some more questions for you.
Sure. Basically, it's that practice isn't reflecting current science and what we know about the complexity of what affects movement. So if we're going to be doctors of movement, then we need to be addressing all the things we now understand affect movement. And I call those systems, and they're always changing, so it's dynamic systems. And too much of practice is still focused on a purely biomechanical, neurological model instead of looking at that. And so I'm out there trumpeting something different than that, something more complex and deeper that reflects a doctoral level of education.
Exactly, and that seems to be the key. So just for a summary, you're actually saying there's the psychology to it, there are other bodily functions that matter, and you're looking at everything.
Right, because to a large degree, a lot of people are experiencing what I kind of call a soulless existence, in that they work in a cubicle, they do work that doesn't have meaning, they have transient friendships, and we're just such a mobile society that as a social animal, we need to have things that mean something and people that mean something. Mm-hmm. So that thrown into a healthcare industry that's become rather like a factory, there's a lot of loss of personal context and personal understanding, and that affects our nervous systems, which directly affects our ability to move.
Yeah.
And so there's a real straight line of science there that takes what others might call the soft stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can measure it, with PET scans and functional MRIs that has a very, very real effect on how the nervous system functions and how we imagine movement and actually execute movement.
So. Significant role, yeah. So how are your peers, your colleagues, how do they accept some of your philosophies and your ideas?
Well, I think I'm still branded as that guy doing other stuff, and that's fine at this point because that's typical. But then I mentioned that, this is the worst economy we ever have. I have a cash-based practice, and I have a 7-week waiting list to get in for an evaluation, and they're going to pay me cash. And then all of a sudden, ears perk up like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I don't have any receivables, and I also don't have any equipment, so I've got very little overhead. And then people really start to get interested at that point, kind of get at a fundamental level. The other thing that I do is I'm involved in a couple different research projects because I know we've got to get it out in the literature and get it justified. So I'm not out there saying, follow me, I just got this great idea. I believe as a professional we have to share it in the literature so we can build off of that with additional documentation. So I try and balance both kind of a visionary view with practical data-driven outcomes as well.
Okay. So when I think you used the MS patient when we talked last week, and you were talking about looking at gait and some of those kind of things. Now, when you assess that patient and you're looking at all of the systems that, that you talked about. But let's just say you do want to improve her gait or you do want to work on some kind of strengthening. If you don't have any equipment, how do you go about doing that?
What I do is we essentially, everybody that walks in, they've got some chronic complex issue, so they're in a state of central nervous system hypervigilance or they're exhausted. So the first thing we do is get them to feel. We get them to feel how tired they are, how tight they are, before we start to move them. And I think that's what we're going to see in this century's rehab, is that it's now about the afferent before we do the efferent. When we get people to sense and feel, then they can make changes. So for that gal, we get her legs up on some blankets with her arms out and open and deep breathing, and that has a way of kind of rebooting the nervous system, or essentially, you know, puts her into the relaxation mode. It's from that she can feel the tension in her adductors and her hip rotators, which are possibly scissoring her gait or already consuming the length tension in her hip stabilizers, which have a direct effect on her ability to single leg balance in mid-stance. So we want her to feel that so that when she can release that, it's people go, how'd you do that? Is it magic? Because they stand up and they can balance, they can single leg stance for 5-7 seconds where they could barely get their foot off the ground, and they think it's, or they, it feels like magic because it's so powerful, but it's really just good neuroscience and understanding how that relationship, being able to feel it and then stabilize out of that, creates an immediate functional outcome for the patient. And they're willing to pay for that because they've gone to therapy for 3 times a week for months with never getting that kind of result because they're standing on a piece of foam and somebody's throwing a ball at them and they can't even sense what they're doing. So kind of backing it up.
So you're saying that instead of that traditional therapy, you are asking them or helping them to more or less feel what their body is feeling, so they're doing it lying down?
Well, we do it that way first because it's easiest. You don't have to deal with balance. But that's, like I say, it's the afferent, and it's in the clinical environment where they can feel, oh, my gosh, I've got my adductors tight. If I release them, my leg rolls out a little bit.
Yeah.
Now I breathe differently. But then we link that
But you have to talk them through that. You have to help them know
that's
how.
That's the skill.
Yeah.
Right. And so as a doctor of movement, can I get them to feel how they're moving or they're holding, you know, essentially a position of tension, and then how they release that tension. And that takes a skill. But the real skill transfer is in the artificial clinic environment, that's easy, relatively speaking. Can they feel it when they're at the meeting at work and they're doing the same thing? They've got a postural response to their environmental situation. And then if she's held her leg tight like that all through the meeting and she goes to get up, of course she limps and has to kind of stagger in her first couple steps. But once she feels that, then in the meeting, she can take that afferent, that feeling, and release it, keep the muscle at normal resting length, and then when she gets up out of the chair, she doesn't feel embarrassed in front of her peers because she's wobbling all over, and that gives her confidence, and they treat her differently. She's not a cripple, and da-da-da. You know, and that's the complexity that I'm talking about we need to deal with, rather than can she walk 100 feet without an assistive device. That's kind of 20th century rehab, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm in the biomechanically based PT clinic. How do I learn to do what you're doing?
Well, that's the rub. I'm creating a curriculum to generate that, and I've been talking to some schools, and we're starting to try to get that in the schools foundation. The other one is if people support this kind of programming when they see it at the APTA level, that drives curriculum in the future. Mm-hmm. And in my blog, I share resources that point therapists to this type of work. But it's very new, but it's very exciting, the results of it.
Okay. In just the short amount of time we have left, do you have any thoughts on how your systems approach would be either more effective or less effective in the approaching healthcare reform that's coming?
Oh, I think it's where we have to go, because the other part of my system is that I teach group classes for both general movement issues and diagnosis specific, and that's an accessible, affordable way for people to, for $20, they can spend 90 minutes with me in a group setting, and so I still make a decent revenue, and they get knowledge and skills plus the social learning, and I think that type of thing is going to let us access a much broader audiences than just the one-on-one model. So we actually do a combination. You get a couple of privates, and you do group work. And
yeah.
So now people are spending a lot less money, plus getting the benefit of socialization as a, not socialized medicine, but socialization and, you know, being with other people who have the similar challenges.
Yeah.
They get the benefits of community. That
yeah.
Way.
What's the biggest resistance, or what is the most common just thing that someone mentions as to why they don't want to, from a physical therapist, why they don't want to accept some of your theories? Is there any common complaint or this will never work?
Yeah, right. Or I couldn't do this. It's fear.
Fear.
I mean, you take a healthcare system that's really sick, putting all these productivity demands and reduced payments on us, and now you're going to ask me to step out and expect people to pay me for my services.
Mm-hmm.
And much of what people are still doing is available for free on the internet now. You know, you want to figure out how to rehab your ankle, you can get
yeah.
a pretty good. So our question is, as doctors of physical therapy, what are we going to do that people will pay cash for that they can't get essentially free or from a lower economical level, say a trainer or a personal trainer? My point is, we have to help them get simple, practical, effective ways of moving that are relevant to who they are. And that's not the way we practice physical therapy. So my tagline on my business is the future of rehabilitation now, because I think when we look back 20 years, we're going to go, God, is that all we did to support somebody with that condition? We
yeah.
didn't even look at how our job or work or
yeah.
Family life. You know, it'll seem as simple as when we joke now about hot packs and ultrasounds and straight leg raises
yeah.
for the post knee surgery.
Right,
know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, and so fear is the big thing. And actually, my doctorate's not a PT; it's in transformational learning and change, which is how people change their paradigms. And and so my big push is that as therapists that use breath, movement, and awareness, those are the same skills that have founded all the transformational sciences through the years, you know, the martial arts and Tai Chi and yoga and that sort of thing, that movement is such a foundation of all learning that if we embrace that as a profession, we could transform healthcare itself, in that we would move healthier and our clients would move better. So that's kind of my soapbox.
Very good. Very good. Well, I can tell that we're going to have to follow up with you in a few months and just see what's changed and how things are going.
That'd be great. I'd enjoy that, Jeff.
All right. Well, very good. Well, Dr. Matthew Taylor has been our guest today on PT Talker. And again, want to thank you for your time, and also let folks know that might just be joining us this week, that you were our guest last week and have additional information in last week's podcast. So, Dr. Taylor, good luck to you.
Well, thanks very much, Jeff. And keep getting the word out there, because it's voices like yours that let different ideas get out from melting pot.
Very good. That is what we are trying to do. I want to thank all of our listeners and remind you to tell your friends about PT Talker, the place to go for business news and ideas just for physical therapists, brought to you by a PT expert each and every week. So Jeff Worrell saying so long for now, and thank you for listening.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.